This is the Lou Rockwell Show.
Our guest today is Jacob G. Hornberger, Bumper to his friends. Bumper is the founder and president of the Future of Freedom Foundation, that's fff.org, in Fairfax, Virginia. He's the editor of a number of books, very prolific writer and speaker. Take a look at his archive on lourockwell.com. Twice, Bumper has also been the impresario of a very important conference on war and civil liberties that he's held in suburban Virginia. Bumper, it's great to have you with us, and I remember so being struck in one of your talks by your showing that the very phrase WMD, I mean, not only, of course, was the whole Iraq war a sham and a fraud in terms of the lies that Bush and the neocons told to facilitate U.S. entrance into that war, but even their very concept of weapons of mass destruction was a fraud. Would you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's an honor to be here, Lou. The whole concept of invading Iraq was based on a lie and a fraud, as you know. If you look back at the period of the sanctions that were imposed against Iraq for more than 10 years, the whole idea was just regime change. That's been the core essence of U.S. foreign policy throughout this interventionist pro-empire period, is how do we get rid of the people that won't do our bidding and put our puppets into power? And so that was what the sanctions were about. The U.S. officials made it very clear that if Saddam would exit Iraq, the sanctions would be lifted. And despite the fact that they were contributing to the deaths of hundreds of thousands of children, the sanctions were never lifted. And so 9/11, of course, provided the opportunity to achieve what the sanctions had not achieved, and that is regime change. And so they used the WMDs as the excuse, which it was obviously a sham. They had hoped to find them there because, as pundits have pointed out, U.S. officials had the receipts. They were the ones who had delivered weapons of mass destruction, chemical weapons, biological weapons, during the time when Saddam was an ally and a partner of the U.S. government. So unfortunately, many Americans just don't want to go down to the essence of the core element of U.S. foreign policy, the interventionism, the regime change. So they fall for a lot of this fake and false and fraudulent nonsense.
Bumper, I always liked your point about that the WMD combines nuclear weapons with weapons that date from World War One and before, and make them all into an illegitimate accumulation in an attempt to scare people, so that if Saddam Hussein had mustard gas shells of the sort that were used in the early 20th century, this would be considered as if he had a fleet of nuclear missiles ready to launch at Los Angeles.
Well, that's right. I mean, they combine the whole shoot and match into one gigantic category. And, of course, the whole thing is designed to instill fear in people and catastrophic possibilities and so forth. And, of course, the government officials are not dumb. They know that when they can conjure up these catastrophic thoughts of a nuclear weapon or mass biological warfare and so forth, that's the opportune time to take away people's freedom.
Bumper, are they going to attack Iran?
Well, I guess that's what we're all wondering about. I mean, I certainly assume they were, and that was why I was part of the writers that were saying, look, we got to warn about this in the hopes that maybe we could stop it. But as time goes on, maybe the opportunity for that is diminishing. I would think that it's a much lower chance now that Bush is getting out in January, but I certainly would not eliminate the possibility.
I must say, it seems to me that with the Federal Reserve's panic and crash and the regime's financial system coming down on Wall Street and all the vast nationalizations that are taking place, that I think and hope it at least makes a war on Iran and who knows how many hundreds of thousands of other dead people less likely.
Well, I think so. I mean, you know, we're seeing the cracking of the welfare state and the warfare state. And we've been saying this for years, both you and I, Lou, and lots of other libertarians, that this out-of-control federal spending cannot go on forever, that ultimately something's going to give. And yet people kept saying, oh, no, we can invade Iraq. There's plenty of federal money. Oh, we can invade Afghanistan. We can maintain the empire, troops in more than 100 countries. We can continue doling out the welfare here at home. No problems. Federal government's got unlimited funds. And we kept saying, this something's going to give. Something's going to crack. In fact, I posted in my blog today excerpts from the last 2 years of blogs saying, you know, we may be facing a perfect storm of financial and foreign policy crises here. And certainly appears that people might be getting the message that, hey, maybe the federal government can't do all these welfare warfare functions, and that's going to at least inure to the benefit of the Iranian people as well as the American people, if that's what it means, that they figure out, hey, we can't afford another war.
And it may make it more difficult for them to invade Pakistan. I mean, as soon as the U.S. puppet Musharraf was kicked out of office, a man who President Bush helped install as military dictator after tossing out the previous democratically elected leader. Nobody mentioned to him the neocon doctrine at that point, I guess. So as soon as Musharraf is kicked out, then the U.S. starts bombing and sending troops into Pakistan, and it looks like getting ready for an invasion. But maybe this has been made more difficult as well by what could be one of the bases of the empire, that is the paper dollar as the world reserve currency, may be actually in danger.
Well, I think so. When the Russian crisis developed, you know, over Georgia, some of us, including yourself, were saying, hey, the beneficiaries of this may well be the Iranian people because it's distracted the attention of the empire people in Washington. Well, if anything's caught their attention since then, it's this financial crackup. And with all their attention devoted to that, the beneficiaries of this could be the Pakistani people, the Afghan people, the Iranian people, and especially the American people that hopefully will not get embroiled in another war, since we've already got two or three going on right now.
And yet we have, of course, both the clowns running for president, Cain and Obama, both saying that there should be national service, both implying that working for the government is like the highest form of human occupation. And both of them, I'm afraid, seeing as part of national service, a military service, whether that would be a draft, whether it would be simply incentives, if you have to spend a year or two as a teenager working for the government, maybe you'd rather be in the military than emptying bedpans at the VA, and then you get all kinds of benefits afterwards. But do you think, are we moving in that direction towards national service, toward more people in the military, therefore more soldiers for them to kill for purposes of the empire?
I don't think there's any question. I mean, there's not a dime's worth of difference between the collectivist mindset of McCain and that of Obama. And that's why they both talk in terms of, not in terms of individual liberty and the pursuit of happiness from an individual standpoint and working with others in the marketplace and sustaining your family and trying to get do better things for your family and yourself. It's all, how do you serve the country? Which by what they mean by that is, how do you serve the government? And it's not a big leap for them to go from voluntarily serving the government, for example, joining the Peace Corps or something, to mandatory service. I mean, they really consider this a good thing. I mean, it really is amazing how Mussolini's philosophy of service is now rising to the surface here with both Obama and McCain. And absolutely, I mean, they know that a war provides them the opportunity to get some mandatory service in terms of conscription. And Americans are going to rue the day, I think, Lou, that they don't listen to us libertarians about this empire foreign policy business, because they get us in another war, especially one land war in Asia or in Georgia with Russia or whatever. I think you're looking at a draft not just of young men, but of young women as well. And there's going to be a lot of eyes filled with tears among American families when they start seeing that they should have listened to us libertarians about, you know, moving toward a constitutional republic and away from this pro-empire foreign policy.
Bumper, you've just sort of summed up the work of the Future of Freedom Foundation. Tell me what's ahead for it.
Well, right now we're getting ready to load up the videos, the speeches from this conference we had in June, which you had mentioned earlier. It was a supplement to last year's conference. It was called Restoring the Republic, Foreign Policy and Civil Liberties. And from the 2007 conference, we had like 24 of the greatest speeches, including your own. So when we did it again this last June in 2008, we had many of the same speakers, but then new speakers. We're getting ready to load that up now, probably tomorrow or the next week. Those are now 21 more fantastic speeches, and we just continue to play a leading role, doing our best to move people into thinking in terms of a libertarian foreign policy here. As you know, we've spent most of our early years at the Future of Freedom Foundation on economic liberty issues. which are very important. But after 9/11, we felt that the biggest threat to our freedom came in the civil liberties area. The notion that the president has the power to arrest any American and hold him indefinitely without a trial and submit him to the treatment that is being given to so-called enemy combatants in the war on terrorism. There is no greater tyrannical power than that. And that's where we've been directing most of our efforts, as well as the economic liberty issues, and that's what we intend to continue doing.
Bumper, I saw the Eva Lynn Cheney on television this morning promoting her new book called The Constitution for Kids. And, of course, I wanted to ask her if I'd been on the show, is there a chapter on habeas corpus? How about rendition, Guantanamo, torture? Because, of course, that's what these people have turned the Constitution into.
Well, that's right, and that's what the real disappointing thing is about the Obama campaign. I mean, he's over here spending his time on whether McCain's got lobbyists on his staff, when here this government is engaged in such things as torture, rendition, enemy combatant theory, Guantanamo Bay. I mean, why aren't the Democrats talking about these sorts of things? Really, Lou, there's just no question that the future of this country lies with us libertarians, both on economic liberty and civil liberties, because we're the only ones who are consistent.
Bumper, you mentioned the kind of work you did after 9/11. I just want to mention that there are a lot of libertarians and conservatives who after 9/11 were joining arms with Bush and agreeing to his so-called war on terror and going along with all the war propaganda. You, Bumper, were one of the very few who stood up for truth and for freedom in that very difficult period, and you've continued to do so since, and of course you did so before that. So it's an honor to know you. It was an honor to be at your conference, and I want to highly recommend those speeches that Bumper is talking about, an extraordinary group of prophetic and fascinating talks that everybody can learn very much from. So take a look at fff.org, look at Bumper's archive and lewrockwell.com, and Bumper Hornberger, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's an honor and a pleasure. It's nice to be on this side of the battle with you, Lou. Thanks so much.
You've been listening to The Lou Rockwell Show, produced by lewrockwell.com. The best-read libertarian website in the world. If you'd like to advertise on this podcast or on the website, email advertise@lewrockwell.com. And thanks for listening.